Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and let Him be the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This program is about a process that holds those scriptures in contempt. In fact, there, that part of the verse that says, leaning to your own understanding, that's Genesis 3, 1 through 6, and that's diaprax. It's a dialectic process in praxis or in practice. You know, teachers have to do praxis. Praxis 1, praxis 2, praxis 3, which means you have to demonstrate doing the dialectical process. You have to demonstrate in bringing every subject before you, every soul, converting them to the dialectical process, the same process that Satan used on the woman in the garden. Now, last session, we were covering Eric Fromm, Escape from Freedom. He's a worldview that Bloom, on page 166, Bloom's Taxonomy, every teacher certified on Bloom's Taxonomy, Christian as well. He said our Weltanschauung was like men like Theodore Adorno and Eric Fromm. And last session, we were talking about Fromm's Escape from Freedom. He says every neurosis is an example of dynamic adaptation. It is essentially an adaptation to such external conditions, in other words, obeying parents or God, or as the woman was having to obey God, in defiance to her natural desires, her potential, her empowerment. Ours in themselves irrational. See, the tree, it was good. There was nothing wrong with the tree, so it was irrational. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was just like the other trees. And so if you look at it temporally, if you look at it through human eyes and human ears, God's word, his command not to eat of it or you would die, see, you won't die. You could eat of the tree a billion years and you wouldn't die. See, the tree didn't kill them. It's their change in paradigm that killed them. This nation moved from a patriarchal paradigm. It is dying and really dead today, folks, because it's done the same paradigm change as the woman in the garden did. It turned to human evaluation, fleshy evaluation to determine what's right and wrong. And therein, if we can justify the flesh, then any warning that God gives in regards to the flesh is irrational. And therefore, it's, as Fromm said, unfavorable to the growth of the child. Now, I covered several comments by Abraham Maslow and Horkheimer, but I closed up last session with Norman O'Brown's quote, to experience Freud, see, to study psychology, to get into this psychological consensus, facilitation, dialogue process. Now, this is out of their mouth. This is not my opinion. This is what Norman O'Brown, who studied Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx and the synthesis that the Frankfurt School did with these two men and their dialectical process. He said to experience Freud, to become a part of the community of the village in this process, is to partake a second time of the forbidden fruit. And Michael Connor, who spoke of Norman O'Brown after his death, he said, but Brown believed that the payoff, see, eating of the forbidden fruit was worth the price of sin. He calls it sin. See, the Apostle Paul says, they know what they're doing. These people with PhDs who come in and say, oh, we care about you and we want to help mediate the differences between the people in the community so we can have a better community and we can all get along. And you say, well, this is a religious issue. And they say, oh, no, it's just a social issue. It's just human relationship. They know it's an issue of sin. They know they stand against God. They know they're on Satan's side. But Brown believed that the payoff was worth the price of sin, namely that alienation would be overcome. If we get rid of God, remember Broner said in Theory and Practice and Group Psychotherapy, in the Frankfurt School book, Critical Theory and Its Theorists, he said God is the anthropological source of alienation. The patriarchal paradigm is a source of alienation. The parent who chastens their children is a source of alienation. So he's saying if we practice sin, And I don't know if I have Marx's quote in this session, but Marx actually said, we must break sin comfortable in the home. That alienation would be overcome. If we can get rid of the patriarch, we no longer have alienation. We have incest. If we can practice patricide, if we can wash from the brain the respect for the father figure in the community, then we can practice incest, come to consensus, and alienation would be overcome. And then he says, and the return of the repressed completed, rendering problems of sin permanently mute. In other words, if we get rid of God, we get rid of the parents, then there is no conscience. So it's no longer an issue of conscience, it is consciousness. Class consciousness. You know what that means? That means the children now know the parents, like God, have conditions that they're just trying to hoard from the children. And if you get rid of the parents, you can have the parents' land and their horses and their belongings. And it's really you. And you can have the husband's wife. And you can have incest. And you can practice homosexuality and pedophilia and bestiality and be a part of the world and make abomination your foundation. We are a nation of abomination. Because we are a nation of the dialectical process. We are a nation that Bloom's taxonomy is built off of. I call secularized Satanism intellectualized witchcraft. It's witchcraft, just intellectualized. And you say, oh, I want to send my child down there so they can learn, you know, the profession of communicating. You know, learn how to build human relationship on Satan's paradigm. Oh, I bet you didn't say Satan's paradigm. But that's what it is, one and the same. How do you think the Antichrist will rule the world? Do you think it's just by little magic? No, it's a system. Satan has a scheme, a system, and there it is. Norman O'Brown, Life Against Death, he puts together Freud and Marx. He says, I quote these guys because folks, they condemn themselves. If you're a believer, this is condemnation to these men. They will stand before God. But you know, God is not going to judge these men as harshly as he will the men who call themselves Christians and ministers who use this process. He writes, parental discipline, religious denunciation of bodily pleasure. See, parental discipline, in other words, chastening. And religious. Religion is that which is sacred, and sacred is that which you will not question. Denunciation of bodily pleasure. In other words, you're getting control over your body and you're obeying the parent. That's that top-down system and you're controlling the flesh. Norman O'Brown says, have all left man overly docile, but secretly in his unconscious, unconvinced, and therefore neurotic. See, the Apostle Paul in Romans, the 7th chapter, he says, with my mind I love the law of God. There's the parental discipline. There's religious denunciation of bodily pleasure. Then he says, there's the law of the flesh. There is the bodily pleasure. And then he says, who can deliver me from this body of death? He understands by the law of God, it's a body of death. But Norman Brown says, secretly in his unconscious, unconvinced, and so there's a part of the flesh. The flesh will never say the law of the flesh is wrong. The flesh will never say your oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda is wrong. The flesh will never say your rebellion is wrong. The flesh is looking for your mind to look upon it and justify it. That's all the flesh can and will ever do. That's why the kingdom of God is not built on the flesh of men. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. And yet you carry this flesh. And Paul says, who's going to deliver me from this body of death to be present here? See, it's necessary for me to preach and teach the word, but to be absent here is to be present with the Lord. Because you're more than flesh, you're spirit. God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man. He became a living soul. You have a soul that's going to last forever. You follow the flesh, you're going to spend forever in hell. You follow the Spirit of God, you're going to have forever in heaven. It's a spiritual body you're going to get after death. Both those go to heaven and hell will get a new body. So those who are in hell will be gnashing their teeth for eternity. You won't have to call up a dentist to get a new set of teeth. They're just going to be there forever while you're gnashing your teeth. And you might say, well, you're really hateful. And then that's the Jesus. If you're a Christian, that's the Jesus you worship, is the one who talked about hell more than anybody else in the scriptures. Who are those who go to hell? Because they are the ones who have this unconscious, unconvinced, and therefore this neurosis, this law of the flesh, and they go after the law of the flesh. That's Maslow's hierarchy of felt needs. If you've ever studied it from marketing, it's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They don't call it lust because they don't want to recognize God. It's just normal human nature. Sure, we need water, food, sleep, exercise. That's the physiological needs. But Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You don't have Maslow saying, you know, we do need these physiological needs, but on top of them, we need the word of God. We need God's direction. No, they actually, as Maslow writes in his journal, we must attack. We must destroy the Christian and Jewish and anti-erotic associations, those fundamental religious extremists out there. We've got to wipe them off the face of the earth. First, we'll go after those who are like in foreign lands, but we'll teach people the system, the structure, how to identify the system, and then we'll tie that to believers. And we'll do the same thing that happened in the Soviet system, that happened in the French Revolution. Everywhere this goes, there is a persecution upon believers because they carry a patriarchal paradigm. And Norman Brown says the bondage of all cultures to their cultural heritage. In other words, doing what our framing fathers gave us in the Constitution is a neurotic construction. See, the socialists, the communists, the Democrats, they hate the restraint of government. They hate the limiting of government because they're the almighty ones. They're the wise ones. They're the social psychologists. They're the ones sitting next to Satan learning his art craft of deception and manipulation for the sake of cosmic oneness. And they hate anybody who comes in and says, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, and restrain their evil, diabolical process. Neurotic symptoms, Norman Brown writes, with their fixation on perversions and obscenities. Well, look at all the laws we used to have in a conservative society. Now, these are all laws being negated. And look at all the laws we have now, promoting iniquity. He says, this demonstrates the refusal of the unconscious essence of our being to acquiesce to the dualism of flesh and spirit, high or low. He says, there's something within us that hates this top-down system. There's something within us that hates the patriarchal system, the paradigm. There's something within us that hates God. You either worship the flesh or you serve the flesh or you walk in the spirit. There's only dualism with God. Right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell. That's a patriarchal paradigm. I'm above, you're below. And this whole system hates it. Satan hates it. Bloom's taxonomy is about taking every soul in that classroom, every child, and selling their souls to the devil. Now, I know educators will tremble at that and say, oh, he's crazy. He's gone off the deep end. And yet, if they would be willing to sit down and read with me the social psychology books, it would condemn them and their love for their flesh and love for their eyes and the pride of their life. So they wouldn't go there. They'll just mock and ridicule and make fun because they can't handle the truth. The truth would condemn them. See, I've read their books, but they have not read my book. They might say, well, I'm a Christian. I've read the Word of God. You can ever learn, but never ever able to understand. How do you understand the Word of God? You die to yourself. They haven't died to themselves. They haven't had their hearts changed. They're unregenerated, but they might call themselves Christians. There's a difference between a Christian and a believer. In the Soviet dialectical system, you can put up with Christians. They're those who have religious opinions. But a believer says, the Word of God says, like Jesus, it is written, it is written, it is written. They're patriarchal in their paradigm. Then Norman Brown says, Freud speaks of religion as a substitute gratification. In other words, that child was heading to the wall to write on it and get some more dopamine, but the parent comes along and says, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, and produces a neurosis. So the child then turns to the parent and projects their love to the parent, that object outside of their human nature, and therefore they empower God above. They empower the parent above. And they produce religion. In Freudian analogy to the Marxian formula, opiate of the people. And so Norman Brown ties Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud together because they both see this accountability to higher authority as the cause of world disharmony. And so you have to get rid of the father figure, and thereby by that process you get rid of the heavenly father figure. That's all of psychology. There is no purpose for one word, not one sentence, not one paragraph in your Psych 101, but the agenda of practicing patricide so you can have incest, so Satan can rule over the world. This is the heartthrob of Antichrist. And then Norman Brown says, psychoanalysis must treat religion as a neurosis. So you're in a Bible study and somebody facilitates. That is Satan role played. And they ask you, how you feel and what do you think? How do you feel, Eve? I ought to be able to touch it. What do you think? There's nothing wrong with the tree. That's the same process. That's Rick Warren's purpose-driven church. You cannot have that mega church out there without this process. It won't happen. It doesn't exist without this process. Then Eric Fromm writes in Escape from Freedom, the family thus may be considered to be the psychological agent of society. Martin Jay wrote a book called The Dialectical Imagination, The History of the Frankfurt School and the Institute of Social Research, 1923 to 1950. He doesn't go beyond 50 because that's when it all hit the fan. That was the 60s. That was the transformational Marxism that came all just government crammed down. They call it grassroots, but it came from executive orders, crammed down. Department of Education, Cabinet of the President, it was crammed into the culture of America. How to destroy this nation from within. And Martin Jay says, the major implication was the transformation of the family's role in the process of socialization. So it was an attack upon the family because if, as I've shared in the past, if I get your child in my classroom and we do inductive reasoning, not deductive, but inductive, get their I feel and I think and look at all that information we bring into the classroom, all the appropriate information, then they become the thinkers. And when they come home and you tell your child to take the garbage out, they'll be the ones who say, give me three good reasons. You justify your position in my life. I'm the center of the universe. I have meaning. And my relevance is not based upon obedience to you. And I tell parents, I hope your child, you gave them three good reasons and they could feel them. The first one is to get their attention. The second one is to remind them of what you said. And the third one was to quit thinking about rebellion. Just be aware they can call a number because Child Protective Services, defending the dialectical process built on the Antichrist, heresiarchal, homosexual, pedophile, bestiality system, will be on your doors making sure that you succumb to their diabolical, abominable system. Martin Jay writes, freedom, as Fromm argued in Escape from Freedom, meant freedom to. Freedom to do incest. Freedom to do abomination. Not merely freedom from. As far as I can tell, all the members of the Frankfurt School were homosexuals. And then we look at Bloom in his taxonomy, the book one, Cognitive Domain. He says, freedom from excessive tension and from pressure to adapt to particular viewpoints. We're going to create a classroom where the children, like the woman in the garden, are freed from a top-down system, the pressure to obey their parent. His efforts need not conform to the views of authority. We're going to allow their natural inclination. We're going to allow them to experience life for themselves. And then Carl Rogers, I told you I was going to get to this, in his book on Becoming a Person, A Therapist's View of Psychoanalysis. Remember, you must treat religion as a neurosis. Carl Rogers says, in psychology, Freud, now this is all psychology, Bloom's taxonomy, psychology, all the classrooms today, illegal, but their psychology, their social psychology, the same system of the Soviet system in Soviet Union. And we say, oh, communism is dead. No, this whole system is built on commonism. What did Eve find? Common. She built everything on common. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was common to the other trees. So if it's common to the other trees, that's communism, then we found equality of opportunity. I can eat of those trees and I can eat of this tree. And so we're all equal. And so Rogers writes, and Rogers is quoted in or mentioned in Bloom's taxonomies. He writes, in psychology, Freud and his followers have presented convincing argument that, see, persuasive argument, proof that the id, man's basic and unconscious nature, that law of the flesh, I put that in, is primarily made up of instincts which would, if permitted expression, if you let the id out, he's saying, result in incest, murder, and other crimes. Well, what studying Freud, what Irvin Yalom say? That Freud is patricide and incest. Result in incest and murder. Who are you murdering? The patriarch. In Columbine, who are they killing? The patriarch. That's who were shot. The athlete who wins. See, it's a win-lose. I win, you lose. The young girl who said, what, do you believe in God? They asked her, and she said yes, and they shot her. Everyone who was shot patriarch and is not, cannot, must not. Paradigm. And then other crimes, he says. The whole problem of therapy. So there's a problem in therapy. What is this problem in therapy that they wring their eyes, arm, or their hands on? As seen by this group, and he's included, is how to hold these untamed forces in check. How can we hold incest, murder, and other crimes in check? How can we, in essence, do you understand what he's saying? How can we use them in a socially useful fashion? How can we use homosexuality and pedophilia and bestiality in a socially useful fashion? As Sir Jonovitz says, we must use crime. This is about the police. We must use crime to gain access to the community. Not stop crime, but to use it. Therefore, we'll use the crime to bring the community together, do the neighbor watch, so we have everybody watching one another, getting in these little groups going, I feel and I think, and we remove the individual patriarchal believer from the community. Everybody has their identity in the community. As a Soviet system, the USSR Constitution, it says a person gains worth by their participation in the village, in society. That's your foundation for worth. That's Bloom's taxonomy. If you're down at the lower end, you're not of any worth. If you're resistor to change, you're worthless. God's word was worthless. It's irrelevant in the garden. Same paradigm. I hope you're getting this. There's no difference. There's nothing new under the sun. And so he's saying, how can we keep these incest, murder, and other crimes in a wholesome and constructive manner rather than in a costly fashion? In other words, there's another system out there that really goes after murder and incest and other crimes, but it's the costly fashion of the neurotic. How can we take the place of God and the parent over the citizens and no longer have this top-down system? We don't even want to be in the top-down system. We just want to be like the devil, an innocent bystander. Peter Drucker wrote a book, Innocent Bystander. It's all about his being raised in Austria in the salons, just like the French salons of the French Revolution, and the perversity and the abomination that came out of those salons, and he calls himself an innocent bystander. He was not an innocent bystander. He was not innocent because all are guilty, all are condemned. And he wasn't a bystander. Every facilitator comes in as though he's an innocent bystander helping mediate the difference. And he is simply role-playing Satan. And I believe maybe some of them are actually possessed by Satan and his demons. Then Eric Fromm, again, Bloom's taxonomy, every teacher certified on. Eric Fromm is the worldview for that material. He writes, doubt is a starting point of modern philosophy. In other words, you got to create doubt in your children. Rational doubt. That's what Eve was looking at. She began to doubt God. You know, there's nothing wrong with this tree, so she's maybe there's something wrong with God. Rational doubt have been solved by rational answers. What is the answer? If it's practical, if it's reasonable, then it's good. The irrational doubt has not disappeared and cannot disappear as long as man has not progressed from negative freedom to positive freedom. In other words, what is the positive freedom? Positive freedom is rules. Negative freedom is the restraint. See, well, let me back up because they're talking about positivism and negativism, and I don't want to confuse those. Negative freedom is obeying your parents, liberty and law. See, the child who is obedient still can play with their toys, but they have limits of what they can do. So that's negative freedom to these guys. They cannot accept liberty and law. Positive freedom is that as long as what you're doing benefits society, then it's okay. Then this is from a book, a philosophy book, Hegel's Lectures on the History of Philosophy, Introduction, Relation of Philosophy on Other Departments of Knowledge. He writes, philosophy in this textbook is a free and not self-seeking activity. This activity contains the essential element of a negation. In other words, the parents cannot is negated, because to produce is also to destroy. So if the child looks to their ought to be, they have to negate or destroy the cannot that restrains their flesh. See, that's what he's saying. As mind passes on from its natural form, this is Hegel's lecture on the history of philosophy, as mind passes on from its natural form, it also proceeds from its exact code of morals and robustness of life in reflection and conception. In other words, the mind was set upon the parent, but now if the ought to be comes out, nor touch it. I ought to be able to touch it. And the child can then, in their mind, imagine the world of ought to be. Then they are moved away from the codes of morals of the past and move into the robustness of life to reflection and conception. I don't know if you grabbed that. That's exactly the pattern that happened with the woman in the garden. The result of this is that it lays hold of and troubles this real, substantial kind of existence. In other words, it causes what's called cognitive dissonance. You're caught between your belief and your behavior. This morality and faith, and thus the period of destruction commences. And so then a child is thinking upon how to get around, how to circumvent, how to negate the parent's restraint. We've all done this. That's all these guys have. They have our fallen human nature to work with. Eric Fromm, back to him, Escape from Freedom. He says, man is free from all ties binding him to spiritual authorities. In other words, once we get the Ten Commandments out, and we get prayer out of schools, and reading scripture, and of course they'll have prayer back, and the multi-global cosmic opinional prayers, and the so-called scriptures of the world, apostate scriptures, and chastening will go out. Went out. See, that had to all be removed because that was patriarchal. Man is therefore free from ties binding him to spiritual authorities, but this very freedom leaves him alone and anxious, overwhelms him with a feeling of his own individual insignificance and powerlessness. Do you realize you have no identity within self? So if you're left by yourself, you really have a tough time. Your identity is given to you externally. It's either by the world or by God. The soul goes with God, the flesh goes with the world. And so he's saying, if we detach you from God, you become very anxious. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. You can be anxious for nothing when you're trusting in the Lord. So, well, I'm just going to encourage you to trust in Him. Now, I've got one more minute here. Let me go on. We are proud in His conduct of life, this is from our education system built on this concept, conduct of life, the man has become free from external authorities which tell him what to do and what not to do. Let me read that again. We are proud that in his conduct of life, this your style of life, this ambiguity of society, the tolerance of ambiguity, that man has become free from external authorities, freed from God, free from the patriarch, which tell him what to do and what not to do. That's the pride of life. Then Fromm writes, but the sadist and the masochist trends are caused by the inability of the isolated individual to stand alone and his need for a symbiotic relationship to overcome this aloneness. Fromm believed that man could not take the last logical step to give up God and to establish a concept of man as being who is alone in the world, but who can feel at home in it if he achieves union with his fellow men and with nature. So the issue of the process was, we got to get you, when we separate you from the parent, we have to have you in a group. We have to reattach you, re-educate to group think, or else you'll stay with parent think, God think, constitution think, law think, accountability to higher think. We'll pick up on the other side of these messages.